A service for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, August the 31st, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. O Lord of grace and mercy, teach us by your Holy Spirit to follow the example of your Son in true humility, that we may withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds avoid ungodly pride. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text today is from Proverbs chapter 25. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now for a sermon entitled, Refined, Useful, and Beautiful. Here's some interesting math. Subtract something from something and get more. I suppose another way to say it is, less is more. Now it may seem that I am being silly. After all, if you subtract something from something, you have less, not more. More is more, and less is less. How could less ever be more? Well, I think a verse from our text explains how this is possible. Suppose you are a silversmith. You intend to fashion a vessel. Of course, you are going to need some silver to work with. However, suppose your supply of silver is diluted and polluted with dross. The smith could go ahead and attempt to fashion his vessel with this contamination. However, due to the impurities, the end product will be inferior. The strength of the vessel will be compromised. In addition, its appearance will leave something to be desired. The end result will not be a very useful or beautiful vessel. But what will make his product more functional and aesthetically pleasing is if he first takes his supply of silver and refines it. This process heats the silver, causing it to liquefy. As the heat continues, some of the dross that is in the silver will burn up. For example, sulfur will be released as a gas. The lead will form lead oxide that will gather together and float on the surface of the silver. The smith is then able to skim that off along with any other impurities that remain. It's a dirty and lengthy process. However, afterwards, the smith has pure silver with which to fashion his vessel, making for a better and more valuable product in every way. Friends, when you and I were chosen by God to believe in him, it is, in some ways, was like a smith acquiring a supply of silver. The silver he received was impure. Permeated throughout the silver was dross. This dross is sin. Indeed, sin has contaminated what once was pure, and so, in accordance with David's words in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Our contamination due to sin was such that God had every reason to write us off and find a new supply of pure silver. However, doing this didn't sit right with our smith. For some amazing and wonderful reason, namely love, he still wants to make us into useful, beautiful vessels. He sought to buy us back regardless of our contamination. And here's the amazing part. He didn't purchase us with money, but with something much more precious. The Lord redeemed us for himself and his purposes with the shed blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. A verse from today's epistle from Hebrews states, "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood." This is summing up how the sinless Son of God died outside Jerusalem's gates on a mount known as Calvary, whereupon he was crucified in order to make atonement for the sins of humanity. His blood is powerful to sanctify all who receive him by faith. After Jesus died, his body was carefully taken down, hastily embalmed, and placed in a certain tomb. However, Jesus rose from it on the third day. This shows that the financial transaction was finalized for our purchase from sin, death, and the devil. And so our sanctification, on the one hand, was completed by Jesus. However, on the other hand, our being sanctified remains a work in progress. You see, the Lord desires to form you and me into something that is both useful and beautiful. Understand, the impurity of sin that remains within us lessens both of these. It needs to be subtracted from us that we might be more. One form of the impurity within us is pride. Our arrogance, thinking that we are so much better than other samples of silver, exposes our pride. What might reveal that you are a proud person? Well, an example from our text, and that Jesus later expanded upon in the Gospel reading, is what might you do if you were invited to a banquet in which the king is the honored guest? Where do you think, compared to all the other guests, that you should be seated? After all, you are important in your own right, or at least in your own eyes. You should have a place as close as possible, if not alongside the king. You enter the banquet hall and pick for yourself the seat closest to his. However, after doing so, someone who is worthy of that place arrives. The king's officials in front of the others now assembled ask you to vacate your self-chosen place of honor. By this time, there's no place left but the lowest seats, far away from where the king is. You are forced, before all the other guests you had looked down upon, to sit at an insignificant table at the back of the hall. Yes, pride is often our downfall. Proverbs 16 teaches how pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is an improper and excessive self-esteem and love of self that exalts oneself. It takes credit for one's accomplishments as though they were self-generated. It looks down upon others. There have been many characters who have borne out the truth that pride goes before a fall. Therefore, God, still desiring to make something useful and beautiful out of us, after having sanctified us through faith in Christ, begins the process of refining us that we might be further sanctified. Our text from Proverbs says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel." The refining process, wherein the dross is consumed and extracted from the silver, allows the smith to apply his trade. Now, it is here we might not like the process. A specimen of silver purchased by the smith in order to be refined must have the heat turned up. The heat changes how it was from solid in itself to a liquefied puddle. The process is painful, and one can only wonder what's up with the smith turning up the heat like that. However, it's a purifying process. Now, in our case, what form does the heat take? It takes the form of various trials, struggles, losses, and tribulations. We get our hearts broken with one disappointment after another. We have to fight just to keep going due to this or that which comes our way. Things we loved, even including our health and mobility, are removed from us. We undergo problems that we did nothing to invite. using every earthly prop, we give way, flat on our backs. There's no other recourse for us other than to look up. We pray to the Lord for mercy. We are no longer proud. Instead, we have been humbled. Psalm 147 speaks of how the Lord lifts up the humble. St. Peter expanded upon this, writing, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." God, our smith, can work with a humble person to fashion a vessel for himself that is both useful and beautiful. What's an indication of one who is humble? Well, from our text, and also from what Jesus expanded upon in the Gospel, a humble person is one who arrives at that same banquet, but who takes a seat in the faraway corner, a long way off from the king. And since he is a humble servant of the king, he is useful and beautiful to him. The king wants him alongside him. He sends his officials to retrieve him. He is elevated to a better seat. It is as our text says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than be put lower in the presence of a noble. Indeed, take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." Friends, through faith in Jesus, you belong to God. After all, Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify you through his blood. He humbled himself after having taken the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. But God exalted him, and now he sits at God's right hand. From there he will come again for us. Until then, in this life, it will not always be easy. God allows hardships and trials and troubles to befall us. But don't think he is punishing you, since Jesus took the punishment for us. Instead, he is sanctifying you, refining you into something pure for his purposes and to his glory. He is extracting the dross. St. Peter explains, "Though now for a little while you may have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Therefore, this is interesting math. Subtract dross from silver and get pure silver. And this is one way in which less is more. When through fiery trials your pathway will lie, God's grace all-sufficient will be your supply. The flames will not hurt you, his only design, your dross to consume, and your silver refine. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.